Hello, everyone. This is D.C. Cordova, and I am the CEO of Accelerate Business School, the Money and You program. And we'd like to welcome you all from around the world to the second session of our Business Makeover series. Today, we're very excited to be going through the subject of understanding and using leverage. And we couldn't have a better person than our leading instructor of the Accelerated Business School for Entrepreneurs and the Money in You program, and that's Dominic Leone. Dominic has an incredible background in business. When he first started in the 80s and he came to attend our programs, his company was trading approximately $6 million a year. Now he trades $100 million a year using many of the principles that he has learned with us. But also, he is a very wonderful human being. He is the nominee, or he may already have been elected the Entrepreneur of the Year in Australia. Thank you for correcting me on that one. And he has been in business in the office supplies industry for over 34 years. He is a wonderful father, husband, and he is a great businessman that really understands the subject of leverage. So, Dominic, thank you for being with us. Welcome. Thank you.
Well, thank you, DC. I'm looking forward to this. What an amazing opportunity to be talking to people all over the world. And thanks for those of you that said hello. So many American accents. I can't believe it. Just one correction to what DC said. I am a nominee for the Entrepreneur of the Year. I haven't quite got that title yet. It's going to be announced on September the 9th, but I'm crossing all my fingers and toes, and hopefully that will come my way.
Well, a nomination is pretty high, and what is right before your birthday?
That's exactly right. It'll be a lovely birthday present this year if I can get that one up. Just a little bit of background, for those of you that haven't met me, I'm an immigrant from Egypt. I was born in Egypt, came out to Australia at the age of 13. The family arrived with $1 in our pocket, and my whole aim and who Dominic is to see how far can I take that dollar. Fundamentally, with a lack of formal education, I left school at the age of 14. I decided to educate myself in other ways, and personal development and self-help books has kind of really been my life, if you like. Today I live my life by a series of flip charts, from Money and You and another program which I run called Creating Wealth. So I do my best to live by those principles, and I became an instructor primarily for one reason, and that is to learn the material. I kind of figured if you really want to learn something deeply, the best way to do that is to teach it. I'm sitting in my office today at the head office of Complete Office Supplies in Sydney. As DC says, it's now a pretty big business, doing about $100 million per year, with about 250 staff on board. And today I'm here to talk to you about leverage. What a huge subject, and a subject very, very close to my heart. I love that word. I do my best to use it every day. Normally, I use it in the context of how can I leverage this? You'll hear a lot about from Dominic saying, how can I leverage this? And when I look at the leverage and what does it mean as we talk about it during my Money and You sessions, the core definition is doing more with less. A great teacher of mine, Buckminster Fuller, called it informalization. And fundamentally getting back to the same thing, doing more with less, doing more with less, and to the point where you can end up doing everything with nothing, which is a kind of a way out there thought, but that's, I guess, the ultimate aim of leverage. The thing with leverage, however, it also works both ways. It could be very good. It could propel you forward. but it could also dig you a very, very big hole, and you could end up maybe a mile underground. There's a bunch of things that have happened in the United States, for instance, with, I think, a scam called the Ponzi scam, which is a very, very, very high form of leverage for the people who are running it, but eventually it comes home to roost, and there's been many, many stories around that. So on a personal level, how does one leverage? What can one do? And as I've been thinking about this session, I look at the personal assets that I have. One is a core gift, and I do sincerely believe that each and every one of us does have a gift. Sometimes we may not know what it is, but it is there. Lots of people struggle try and find out what is my gift and so on. It is there. You just got to figure out what it might be, and it's normally going to be something that really internally makes you feel really, really good when you do that. So core gift or talent, if you like to call it that, is a personal asset. Another personal asset that I have is time, and that's, of course, the one thing that you and I all have exactly the same amount of. So at the end of the day, it's a lot about, you know, can I use my time better than my fellow human being? And another personal asset I have is my ability to store knowledge. And last but not least, physical strength or energy. So I guess what I tend to do or try and do is to leverage those core assets. And probably the biggest possible leverage for us as human beings today is our knowledge. The greater the knowledge, the higher possibility of leverage. It gets down to the know-how. And the know-how is something that's actually invisible. You can't really see it, but you know it. Reminds me of a story, I was told this a few months ago. I may not be 100% on the details, but I'll give you the essence of it, where a consultant went into a paper mill to fix one of those big machines that was making the paper-making machine. And the guy spent basically this room with many, 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 many TV sets and so on and monitors. And he spent 4 hours looking at all these monitors and so on and pressed half a dozen buttons and gave a bill to the mill for $20,000. He was questioned on this. How could you possibly charge $20,000 for such a short period of time? I mean, this is, you know, you spend 3 hours on this. How could that be? His response to the management in writing was, my time was billed out at $1,000. And there's $19,000 for know-how. So it's a lot about know-how is a very, very, very high form of leverage, and how you turn that into a business or a money-making machine, as I like to call it. I'll try and cover shortly. The other thing, as I said, is time, and time is every day. It's about having the discipline of how to best use my time at any particular moment of the day. And I kind of look at my day and go, what is my greatest leverage for the next hour, whether it's in this business or whether it's even with my kids and so on. I tend to be quite disciplined with my time and how I use it. So talent is another thing that I said was a personal asset, and so what is it? For me, I kind of figured out that my core talent, if you like, I'm blessed with a couple, but primarily I'm a trader. I'm what is known, what I now call myself, an Arab trader. I'm best at buying and selling product. I do that with office supplies. Basically, we sell about $100 million worth of pens and pencils and paper and toners. So business to me is a fantastic form of leverage. There is, from a money-making perspective, there's probably nothing better that I know of anyway of than business. And how business is a how business works, if you like, or how is it to be leveraged, is simply a series of systems that are interconnected. And systems themselves then become an extremely high form of leverage, because if you understand systems, systems at its core allows you to do more with less and delivers the same results over and over and over and over again. And that's kind of what I guess we've been able to establish here at Complete Office Supplies, is a whole series of systems in various parts of the business. So business itself, and what it delivers, it's simply, business to me is simply the power of a number of people, ideally a greater number of people, heading in the same direction. The power of that on this planet is phenomenal. I talk about it from a business perspective, but you could also talk about that from a humanitarian perspective, a large global thinking. Once the world begins to think or go in a single direction, it's actually unstoppable. Pretty much the same in business. When you have a group of people with good leadership heading in a particular direction, aligned in that direction, that business is absolutely unstoppable. So I guess a core thing then in business, other than systems, becomes talent. Attracting talented people. The number one issue on my agenda every day is people retention, or issues to do with people. As the CEO at COS, I have 7 direct reports, but I probably spend 30% of my time concerned with people issue. It is the biggest thing that I can devote as much time to as I can, because it gives me the ultimate results. And so how do you attract good people? How do you keep good people is a constant subject of communication with my executive team. It's tough in a competitive environment to keep and attract good people. So but I have found a few things that work well in retaining, and one is I've made it my business to understand human behavior, but at an individual level within the business, at least at the top tier, I do my best to understand the individual psyche. What is it that motivates that individual? What is it that makes that individual smile inside? And that is, you can get to that by an ever-ending discussion with them, in truly understanding who they are and where they're coming from. What is their essence? What is the essence of the individual? Is the essence of the individual security? Is that really their core value? Or is it family? Or is it money? Or is it, fame, perhaps, or recognition. As you get to get that from each of your direct reports, or maybe even a level further down from that, you can then begin to tweak what you do to suit that individual. If an individual really values family, I'm going to do my best in my communication with them and my reward system with them to make sure that it's family orientated. We kind of tend to think, or I used to tend to think, that really money was the greatest motivator of all people. As long as I paid you more money, you should be able to produce more. I've had to correct that in the last few years. It's not really, most people are not really driven by money. It is very important, and it's got to be extremely competitive, and it's got to be in the ballpark of your market. However, there's a whole lot of other things that attract people or make people stick to a company rather than money. One of them, for instance, is the vision. What is that company endeavoring to do? And to give us some idea, what is your cause of that? What is the cause of that business? The core vision of that business. And one of the things that we run behind at COS, the single thing that every employee begins with a session as part of their induction, they begin with a session with 45 minutes with me as part of their induction. And I talk about our vision and where we're trying to get this business. And the core thing that we try and do in this business is to offer the very best customer experience for office products in the world. And that's a pretty big vision and a pretty big bold statement to make. But it does set up this context within this business that everything we do is within that single flip chart, and that flip chart is right, you know, if you ever get to Australia, by all means come and visit our business and you'll see that flip chart all over the business. Behind every manager's desk is what is the best customer experience that we can deliver for office products in the world. So that's part of the glue, if you like, that ties people to us. We recognize people every month. We have different programs that recognize people, awards. We've just come back from a beautiful little island called Hamilton Island, where we spend 3 days there for our high achievers. As again, part of recognition, part of looking at people in the eye and acknowledge them for doing a great job. And if you can't go, sometimes it's impossible for me to get to you've done a great job, because they may not have done a great job, but at least acknowledge them as human beings. The other thing, and probably the last thing around the people aspect of it, is that it's very, very difficult to actually motivate people. And, you know, you can go to different, you can send them to different motivational speakers and they might rah-rah them up for a little bit and all this. But in my world, that seems to be short-lived. So I think probably the biggest motivator is to find the demotivators in the business and do the best to remove that. I kind of see my job a little bit as a obstacle remover. Whenever I get an opportunity to speak to a staff member on one-on-one, I will ask them the question of what is getting in your way in our business to you doing an even better job. One of the programs we have at COS is that once a month, 10 employees are picked from every department to come and have lunch with the CEO. And invariably, the question I'll ask them at lunch is that what is it that is holding you back, or what is it that's an obstacle for you doing an even better job? And with that, I can take that back to my management team and get them removed, get those obstacles removed, and hopefully move a whole lot faster in a forward direction. The other great form of leverage, I guess, now in 2010 is technology. The best part about technology, from my perspective, is that it truly allows small business or up-and-coming businesses to compete with very large businesses. In my history, as DC said, I've been running this business now for well over 30 years, and there was a time where there was not as much technology as what there is today, and we found it very difficult to compete against the bigger guys. Today, technology allows me to be equal to giants. And in my, although that, you know, for some of you listening, you kind of hear $100 million business is a big business. And granted, it is a big business, but I'm still involved in a David and Goliath kind of world. I compete in Australia with two massive global players, probably well known to most of you calling into the United States, a company called Staples, all over the U.S., all over the planet. In Australia, they're probably 10 times my size. And it is truly a David and Goliath kind of fight that we have out there. Same thing with another company called OfficeMax. Again, a David and Goliath kind of battle. But technology is my equalizer. We use technology today to work online. 70% of my business is transacted online, and any business can have as good an online presence as any large business. It's truly technology today is an amazing equalizer in the business world. The other thing with technology and what kind of excites me about it is that I'm constantly asking the question, can I scale this? Is there scalability within it? So part of, I think, my success in getting to this point is being able to continuously ask the question in everything that we do in the business, what would happen if I had 20,000 people trying to get online? What would happen if we had, for instance, our current order system will go through our warehouse at about 3,000 orders a day. However, I know that it's scalable to at least 25,000. So I'm constantly looking at everything in the business of saying, does it have scalability? Does it have scalability? Does it have scalability? And occasionally, we kind of screw up. You know, recently we decided that we would go into the printing business in the last 4 years. And we've recently figured out that whenever we take on a brand new printing customer, it continuously adds cost to the business. Basically, no scalability, so there's no way for me to make an ever-increasing income from it. I'm going to make the same income forever on it, because every time I bring on a new client, I need to bring on more people. So we're kind of busy at the moment looking at that department and seeing if we could, what do we need to do in there in applying more technology to make it a lot more scalable. One of the other things that DC wanted me to mention was this whole myth, I guess, of capital raising. Now, there's no doubt that every business needs capital. But I've often also seen many, many, many people in business using lack of capital as an excuse to their growth. the majority of private businesses that have grown have ended up growing from capital that's been raised within their family or through small loans and all this. I mean, from my point of view, I'm an example of that, where I've taken this business from a zero start to $100 million without any input of capital from anybody outside of me. So it's been generally business. It's been generally run at a profit every year, and reinvest that profit, and get up again on July the 1st and run at a profit for the next year and reinvest it again. The power of that money and the compounding effect of it over many years has served us very, very, very well. And the initial start of it was simply $2,000, of which I got by selling my car. Yes, it does take money to begin a business, but to me, it's actually a big myth. Most small businesses find a way to work through their capital needs. The reality is this: if you really do need money, there is more money out there looking for a home today than ever before. And with my experience of the world and the business world, there's no doubt that money finds good homes, homes being businesses, and generally it's about how well the business is run, how good is the team at the top, how good is the visionary driver of that business. I get excited these days hearing plans of young entrepreneurs and where they're heading and what their vision are. I've been known to add some seed money or something like that when I hear a great story, or I really trust that an individual is going to be destined to have a great business. Money is like, you know, it's like a water down a river. It'll follow a path, and it's always looking for good. It's always looking for good management. One of the things back on technology for a second, of how it is being used and how amazing it is these days. I was invited to a meeting the other day for a presentation of a product that we wanted to buy, and the business developer who had been speaking to me on the phone set up this meeting between me, my IT manager, and two other companies, and the whole thing was done over the phone. I was being presented to from somebody in the United States powering up a PowerPoint on my screen. When you think about that and the power that that has now in opening markets all over the world, suddenly this guy sitting in the U.S. is selling to me in Australia. Rather than having to physically come to my office, he's able to do it over the phone. So that's absolutely fascinating me, how far technology has come and how it can propel the business. The other probably great lesson that I got in my business when I first started getting involved with Money and You and hanging around with some amazing masters, I read a great book, and to me there's some foundational books out there. Probably the greatest book in my mind ever written is a book called Think and Grow Rich, written by Napoleon Hill back in the 20s. This is a book, together with the book called The Law of Success, it's a book to study. It is, and as I said earlier, knowledge is the ultimate form of leverage, and those books are kind of foundational, really. I think every other book that's been written about motivation or success of individual has its roots back to think and grow rich or the lower success. But a great book, another book that's had a great impact on me is one by Michael Gerber called The E-Myth. And the one core thing that I remember about The E-Myth, which I started repeating to myself over and over and over and over again, is this whole idea of working on the business versus in the business. I used to spend a lot of my time in the transactions of the business. As I began to grasp that concept of really working on it, working on its systems, working on its development, working on retaining stars, working on attracting stars rather than, you know, working in it in the transaction of being in the warehouse picking or packing an order, which I kind of love to do anyway. I love to get into the nitty gritty of the business, but my best form of leverage is to work on it, work on the strategy of the business. Where is it heading? How are you going to compete? Where is the knockout punch going to come in this business? What is it that can knock this business out with a single punch? For instance, in our business, one of my greatest concerns is the paperless office. If the world stopped using paper, where would we go as a business? Everything that we do pretty well revolves around paper. If you think of an office supplies company, it's all about paper, filing the paper, writing on paper, and so on. So I keep an eye very closely on consumption of paper at a global basis to see whether that is a potential knockout punch or not. Is there a competitor out there that's doing something dramatically better than what we do? Is another part of me working on it, attending lots of networking sessions and understanding how other people are running their businesses and what are they doing in their businesses that I could simply be adapting to my business. And you get some great ideas from whether it's in the food business or whether it's whatever industry, the hospitality industry and so on. There's always some great things that you can pick up from a different business. Most of the ideas will come out of another business anyway. I think another great form of leverage in my life and my know-how, if you've attended one of my seminars, one of my Money in You, I do talk a lot about my mastermind group. And I think that is, to me, an extremely high form of leverage. I've been involved in a group now for since I did my Money in You way back in 1988, not long after I did my training. We formed a group called the Org Group. Basically, we couldn't think of a better name, and it stands for Our Resource Group. Simple structure, all had one thing in common, which was Money in You, and we would get together once a month and determine how we could best help each other in our lives by discussing issues at hand. Now, I've been in couple of groups. I'm now in a different group, a different CEO group, and the one thing we all have in common is that we all have a business with over 100 employees. That's the core thing with this group. But fundamentally, it is a haven for me and my other mates to get together once a month and discuss issues going on in our lives, whether in business or personally, in a very safe haven, in being totally confidential, and know that it would not whatever is said would not go outside that room. That is an amazing piece of leverage for if you're in business. One of the things that is true for me, and I know is true for a lot of my friends who are running other businesses, is that the more you grow in an organization, and as you get to the pointy end, that maybe, you know, right to the point of the business as a CEO or at least a senior manager in a business, it begins to get extremely lonely, and the information that gets to you from your team members is basically slanted with their views on it. So who do you talk to? Who can you discuss this with? And, you know, I've often heard from people, yes, well, you know, I've got a fantastic management team. I can discuss anything that I can with them and all this. I completely trust my people to tell me the truth and so on. Yes, well, that's all very well and good. But at the end of the day, if you're the CEO and they are in any way a subordinate to you, the information coming back to you will be slanted by their views. So it becomes extremely important at a business level to have an outside forum that you can discuss the issues going on with your business. And it's an extremely powerful thing to have eight businesses sitting around a table talking about ideas and how one idea can be leveraged into the other business. Now, this group has also grown beyond business. It is also, you know, a personal issue, if you like, group. The greatest leverage to me in achieving success in business has been, I believe, my core desire of self-actualization, or perhaps probably better said, self-discovery. I do my best to understand Dominic and who is Dominic and what runs Dominic, what are Dominic's issues, and how are those issues holding Dominic back. And probably the self-discovery to me began with Money in You. Before I did that program, I had never really done any other self-improvement program. I've since probably done everything that there is available, I think, on the planet at the moment, because it is a core desire. The more I know me, the better that I'm actual to use my God-given talent to propel me and the people who follow me further. So I do encourage people to dig more into you and understanding you better. And I know that the particular group of people listening to this right now would more than likely have that as their core anyway, because you wouldn't be sitting on the phone for an hour listening to me talk if you didn't want to propel yourself forward, or at least better understand yourself. But my forum group, if you like, or the forum that I belong to, again, enables me to explore various parts of my life in a safe haven. If you go back and read what I said earlier in the Think and Grow Rich book, Napoleon speaks in there of very successful people having what they call in that book a mastermind group. There's no doubt now, after 20 plus years of being in a group, that once you get together, there is this mastermind that is created, this higher level of intelligence that gets created by the synergy of the group. So a forum group or a mastermind group, very, very, very powerful tool in a form of leverage.
Dominic?
Yeah.
Hi. Oh, I love everything that you're saying. And, you know, one of the things that I know that you still have a little bit more to cover, but what I know that you hang around with very, very successful, very wealthy people in, you know, not only the YPO, but the groups that you meet. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is that everything that you have been saying is so powerful because, you know, we talk about this and certain people teach this that make good money. And the truth is that you are extremely wealthy. And it's like for anyone listening to out there might say, wow, you know, it's like, are these principles really true? And, you know, and when you and I get together, you know, we've been friends for so long. And whenever we get together and we do a business school or we have an opportunity to chat, you sometimes tell me about some of the learning experiences that your friends have had, you know, like that one guy that you were sharing with us that he lost everything, you know, and now he has to start all over again. And so what are some of the lessons that you have had? What are some of the things that, if it doesn't take away from what you have in your notes that you want to share, but I think that some of the listeners may be very interested in some of the lessons that you have had and that leverage pulled you out of it, your knowledge, all the things that you have been covering. Can you just share that, either that have happened to you or you have witnessed with some of the people that you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I did talk about know-how and that being an amazing form of leverage. I have had close to me multiple times now a business getting a knockout punch, if you like, from somewhere that the CEO did not foresee. I think we're seeing a lot of that as a result of GFC, although Australia has pulled out of it very nicely, thank you, but we haven't gone without our problems. What doesn't disappear is know-how, and I've seen now multiple times guys getting knocked out. And I guess after, you know, feeling down for a little bit, getting back up and starting a complete new business. I've known one guy who is in the hotel business, and I guess because the hotel business is funded by debt, it died. As a result of GFC, no way to recover it. End of story. All lost. All wealth lost. Have to start from scratch again. But the impressive thing is, gets back to the know-how, is that he's currently rebuilding a business in technology. and doing quite well. So, you know, applying the core knowledge that he learned about business, even though it's gone broke, probably similar to, you know, I think our ultimate masters, a lot of us in business is Ford, way back in the 20s, where he would say, you know, if I lost everything today, I'd pick half a dozen men and I'd build the whole thing again in a few years. I kind of feel like this about my business as well. I think that if something did happen, and it's probable that that something could happen, you could easily rebuild it based upon the know-how. One of the interesting learnings for me from a wealth perspective is that I did have a very, very good friend. In fact, my best friend, who unfortunately passed away a few years ago, used to say to me, he's very clear that he does not want to be wealthy, because look at what wealth has done to so many people. There is a few people who use their wealth in a terrible fashion on our planet. However, in my experience of wealth, I've actually found wealth to be an amazing thing to have. And all the wealthy people that I know use their wealth in an amazing way to add lots and lots and lots of value on the planet. And it's not, you know, it's really most of the guys that I know that are wealthy tend to be highly disciplined individual. They know where they want to go. They are absolutely determined to get there, no matter what it takes. And they're continuously taking another step towards the direction in which they've chosen to head. So, what do you want? Where do you want to be? What do you want to do? The greatest majority of people on the planet, when asked that question, really can't articulate it. Really can't say what they want. When I say it to my employees, they don't really know what they want. When I say it to people in my programs, in my Money and You program, they don't really know what they want. What I often hear is that, well, I don't want this and I don't want that. Anything else is kind of okay. The planet is, from my learnings, the planet is set up to give you what you want. And your job is to be able to articulate that. Articulate what is it that you want. And it has fascinated me time and time again of how the clearer you get in your head as to what you want, somehow it shows up. God knows how that works, but I know that it's worked for me multiple times and it works around me. Most of the times, if people can articulate exactly what they want, they're creating it. Because fundamentally, as a being, we're creators rather than reactors. But we tend to think that we are reacting to the environment. My reality is you can create it the way you want. And I think my greatest teacher of that was Buckminster Fuller when he talks about designing your life, and says that you can design your life exactly the way you want it. The problem is we're way too busy every day to stop for 5 minutes and design it. Part of my process is to stop for a little bit at the beginning of every year And, you know, DC would know, and some of you would know that some years back we used to run a program called Global Educators, which used to take a bunch of us out for about 5 or 6 days at the beginning of every year. And that was a great time to think about, what is it that I want? How am I going to adjust my life? What else do I want in my life? What are my goals? And make them as real and articulate them as best we could. I still practice that today. So in the notes section of my iPhone, I have my current vision and where I want to go. What do I want to do this year? What are the things that I'm going to achieve? And interestingly enough, I can sit in January and write a set of goals that I want to achieve this year. And I do my best to make those goals as big, as bold as possible. And it never ceases to amaze me that by this time of the year, by July, August, the majority has been done. It's phenomenal what happens to you once you get clear on what you want. You know, one of the flip charts that Bunny knew is clarity. Clarity leads to power. And when you get clear on what you want and you can truly articulate what you want, it seems to me that your mind or your brain kind of just takes over that and just begins to work towards it. Every day something happens towards that one goal. So very, very, very powerful tool.
Fantastic. Now, do you have anything else in your notes, or may I ask you a couple of questions?
I think you should ask me a couple of questions.
Fantastic. You know, you did bring up for a few minutes, you were talking a little bit about raising capital. And
yeah.
I know that you are definitely one of the people that did not go on that route. But because you are in the business world, I know that you have invested in others, and I know that you get pitched quite a bit. And what do you look for if you were interested in investing on someone? What do you look for them to present it to you so that you will put your money in their business?
Well, I'm going to look for a few things. As I already said, I'm going to look for good management. And I'm going to look for a good idea. The idea to me, I guess with my logical mind, needs to make sense. Needs to make sense as a product or service. I'm going to look for the individual having some good track record, and if they may have not done that before, but I'm looking for the integrity, in the individual, and total integrity of the individual, the individuals who are making a pitch to me, and also. A greatest question I'm probably going to ask is, why, if this is such a good idea, why do you want my money in it? Why not put your money in it? And if I pick up any kind of hesitation on that, it's really, if the person has money themselves and not putting it in there, to me, there's my first big flaw. It's highly unlikely that I'm going to go anywhere near that company, because it becomes about, rather than, you know, building a substantial business, building a business that truly adds value, it's probably going to be a capital raising for the owners to go on a spending spree. So that's a few things that's in the back of my mind.
And if the person just has a really good product or service and they don't have that kind of money, you must have a different criteria for them.
Yeah, look, I've got some money in a tiny little business here that turned out to be lo and behold, with my hairdresser.
Right.
Now the guy is great at hair, but he's got an amazing leverageable idea with hair extensions.
Right.
So I've kind of looked at it. I think the guy is high quality. He's got a great product.
Right.
Doesn't quite really know how to take it to market. So I've got some, you know, I can add some value to him in that area. And the product makes sense, you know. There's a lot of women on the planet today who want to look more beautiful. His product and service makes absolute sense. He has got a bunch of his money in it, but he can't take it any further. So he needs outside help, and you know, guys like me or other guys like me will come in and probably take, you know, I mean, the one thing that you will do by raising capital is that you will give some power away.
Right.
And, you know, from my perspective as an investor, I'm going to try and take as much power as I can for the money that I'm going to put in. So the better your idea, the bigger share of the business that you'll get to keep.
Fantastic. And now what I really want to share, a couple of things with all the listeners. Number one, Dom is very Australian. So when he talks about guys, he's actually also including women, because he does know quite a few women that are very successful and wealthy like him, some of his closest mates. So he's referring to both of them. And also one of the things we love about you, Dom, is how blunt you are and also how honest you are, because it is true. A lot of times people don't realize the power that they're giving away to an investor, and most people don't like to talk like that, and that's one of your greatest strengths, is that as the leading instructor of our business school for so many years now, that's probably one of the biggest value that people get from you. As such a successful businessman, you really tell them what wealthy people are thinking, whereas a lot of people just kind of, you know, they don't want to hear it, or they don't want to say it, because they, even though they're so rich, they still want to be liked, and they kind of, you know, don't tell the truth completely, you know?
That's correct. I do my best to come from my truth, and at the end of the day, I've got nothing to lose with that anyway, and then I don't have to remember everything that's been said later. So usually, I love sharing my information. The core thing about Dominic is I'm a self-made person. I started this thing with nothing to what it is today. I live in a beautiful area, in a beautiful part of the world, and you know, we really think that this is the land of opportunity. Just like the United States is also an amazing place. If you really want to make it in the States, like Australia, you're going to make it. But really, it's up to you. Are you going to get, you know, you need to get out of bed and do something. You know? If you're going to win the lottery, you need to buy a ticket.
Yeah. And so the last part, the very last thing, I know that people are going to want to know this, is if somebody has a certain chunk of money, or how would you leverage, like let's say somebody inherited something, or they had a windfall, or they sold a business, and you know, you can be talking about, for some people $10,000 is a very nice little chunk, and for other people $100,000, others $1 million. And I know that there's different dynamics for all those amounts, but just to complete this call on leveraging actual cash, actual money, what would you recommend to people?
I'm a little bit careful about making recommendation, because at the end of the day, you're almost asking me an investment advice, and that's not what I do. But there is different things that one can do. One thing is going to depend upon your appetite for risk. How much risk are you willing to take? One of the frightening things I find is that sometimes the older you get, and if you haven't made your fortune, so to speak, people tend to take extremely high risk. And there's lots of people out there willing to look for that kind of money. $10,000 in a small business is a very, very powerful investment. Because I don't think you can get any better return than your own business, if you like. At the end of the day, that's kind of the ultimate, from my perspective. A lot of people cannot do that because they need the security of a wage. But ultimately, I think on this planet, your own business will give you the greatest freedom that you can have, and the ultimate return if you work hard at it, headed in the same direction. Personally, I have multiple investments these days. So I've got some money in some small businesses. I love property. Because you know, the house or the warehouse or whatever always remains there. I also have some money in the stock market. That's not been my greatest place to make money. And you know, myself and Ma are having thoughts at the moment of just getting out of that game because I really don't understand it deeply enough.
Right.
So it depends on your appetite and your knowledge of the sector of which you're investing in. You've really got to understand what it is that you're investing in, and it needs to make sense. Some people just go in for quick money, knowing damn well it doesn't make sense, but their desperation to succeed is what bites them in the backside. You know, if you invest $1,000 with me today and get me 10 of your friends to also invest $1,000 tomorrow, I'm going to turn your $1,000 into $3,000. How does that make sense?
Right.
What is the product at the end? What is the value proposition to the world? If it doesn't exist, if you're not really selling something that adds value to lots of people, that investment is highly likely to fall.
Got it. Thank you so much. I love those conversations. So I just wanted for the public to be able to listen to some of the things that I learned from you and that you've gotten really good at, and you have a fantastic point of view. So before we say goodbye to you, I just want to make a quick announcement about next week, because I really want everyone to pass the word along. You know, we're going to have Lee Brower next week, and he's going to be going through his Empower Wealth Quadrant. And if you want to join us, Dominic, we'd love to have you listen in. So Lee Brower is going to be talking about creating an empowering wealth on leaving a legacy for your family and the Empower Wealth Quadrant. He'll be going over, and he will be sharing about money, a subject that he really knows about. So please pass the word along to your associates. And this is this full.